Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. So J.R.R. Tolkien was the Catholic writer and the literature professor from Oxford who wrote The Lord of the Rings, a very long, protracted, wonderful, immersive story about human nature, about our relationship to power and good and evil. In The Lord of the Rings, there is an evil lord by the name of, does anybody know what his name is? Sauron. And he seeks to dominate all the races of Middle-earth. Now, this is a fantasy novel, so that means the humans, but also the elves and the dwarves and, of course, the hobbits. And he has crafted a ring of immense evil power. Whoever has this ring holds the power to Middle-earth, but he lost it in a battle, and he wants it back, and he will stop at nothing to get it back. And once Sauron has that ring back, he will have what he needs to dominate the world and enslave all the beings of Middle-earth. And whoever recovers that ring actually has a bit of a challenge in front of them, because the ring has a tendency to dominate whoever puts it on. It has been recovered by accident by a hobbit named Bilbo, and then his relative, the humble and less than willing hobbit, Frodo, is trusted with the Ring of Power to bring it to Mount Doom and destroy it in the fires of the mountain. Wow, what an epic story. I think, how thick are the paperbacks? Does anybody remember reading these, how thick the paperbacks are? And then the movies, which attempted to be faithful to the original, were, I think, each of them like 3 hours long or something like that. There's all this hobbit dialogue and everything. Anyway, it's a big, big story. And it's all about the drama, the cosmic drama between evil and good, and how, we wouldn't say humans, in the hobbits and humans get caught in the middle and are conflicted in the middle of the drama of good and evil as it unfolds. Well, I mentioned it already. Tolkien was a Christian. He was a Catholic Christian. And in brilliant ways, his epic drama mirrors the narrative of the New Testament, certainly the way that Paul shapes the narrative. In Paul, we find that there is a world full of cosmic and earthly principalities and powers, they're called, some evil, battling each of them to dominate this reality. And then Paul tells us about we human beings who are susceptible to sin, who have been under the oppression of sin. Somehow these human beings have to cope with this. And the reality is that Christ comes in to save us from our sins. And according to Paul, now if you just put a period there, you might have about 95% of Protestantism, that Christ came, he died on the cross, he's God become human, he died on the cross, he saves us from our sins, we make commitment to Christ as Lord, and we live forever. You might put a period right there in most of Protestantism. However, if you delve deeper into Paul, into some of these books with a larger scope like Ephesians and Colossians, you realize that Christ didn't just come to die for human sin, change a few human minds, and call it a day. Paul teaches us that Christ's mission is universal and cosmic in scope. Christ is redeeming all creation from its fallen state. So we've been studying Colossians chapter 1, this little paragraph in Colossians chapter 1. We read last week verse 19, and I'll start there and move into verse 20 for today. For in him, Paul tells us, in Christ, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. I emphasize all things in a sense because Paul doesn't just say people. Paul doesn't just say sinful human beings. Paul says all things. Panta is the word in Greek, and it is an all-encompassing kind of word. So Christ for Paul is the one who has ultimately brought peace to the entire cosmos through the sacrifice on the cross. now. I just prayed a few moments ago for people whose lives were affected by tornadoes. We can look out in the universe and say, wait a second, not all is peaceful. There isn't peace out there, and we would be correct. And Paul knew this. Certainly looking at his day and age, he knew that, well, it wasn't just a wrap and like everything was all good from here on in and that evil was defeated forever. Paul knows this. It's typical of the way that Paul thinks. And scholars such as N.T. Wright have gone into what we call the extra-biblical literature. That's the literature outside what we call the Bible, but literature that Jews might have been acquainted with, and certainly a Jewish scholar like Paul would have been acquainted with. And they've found resonances of the same kind of thinking. There's a now and a future aspect to it. God has acted decisively through Christ on the cross. And the fulfillment of this action is coming. It's a now and future thing. God has liberated Israel and called Israel God's own through what God did through Moses and the law of Moses. God will fulfill God's call to Israel, the call through Abraham and Moses and David, in the coming of the Messiah. See how it works? It worked this way for centuries before Paul. Now and future, now and future. So the resurrection has happened. The implications are still being worked out. Now there is victory over sin and death, eternally speaking. In the future, we are working towards the final fulfillment of what God is still doing. And here in Colossians, that is the redemption or the reconciliation, the coming back together of all things, not just the people, all things. The church is the sign of that. That's why healthy churches are so important. Churches should be reconciled to one another. They should be proactive in the community. They should live in harmony because the church is the living sign of who Christ is, the presence of God in the world. So that leads us to something, right? Because all this can be very abstract. It's beautiful, and it's mind-blowing, and it's big, and sometimes we go, what do I do with that exactly? So we can manifest the presence of the living Christ in the world, who is about reconciling all things together back to God. How do you do that? However you can. However you're gifted to do so. Paul goes into this at length in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says it's like a body, and there are different parts of it, and they all do different things, and they're all important. Whatever we are gifted at doing to bring God's presence to the world is important. We can take what we are doing in our little life microcosms and share them in the macrocosm. We can take this presence of God in our own lives and what we're good at, and we can share that in the world in such a way to bring people, the world, back into harmony with God. I had this story in my files. I don't remember the source. On his way to work one day, Chicago insurance broker Bob Mizikowski, we'll just call him Bob, saw a derelict ball field full of trash in a gang-infested neighborhood. These kids there could use a real Little League to play in, he thought. So he teamed up with a friend to create the Near North Little League. In, quote, pretty wild early practice sessions, coaches dealt with 250 boys, long in enthusiasm but short on fundamentals and behavior. Each game began with a prayer. Cursing was strictly forbidden. While I had no illusions that I'd change the world, I had no doubt that God wanted me to play baseball with these kids, said Bob, who came to Christ not long before. My faith had taught me that being a Christian means truly believing what Jesus said about loving my neighbor. The next year, 400 kids joined the league. Today, 900 fatherless kids in 100 Little League teams are learning self-respect and community values. So Bob, the insurance broker, had a skill set. Doesn't say anywhere. He might have been a theologian, but it doesn't say that he was. He had a skill set that was valuable and a heart for his neighborhood and helping kids. That was his microcosm. And then he shared it, and his world got bigger, and the world of those kids got bigger too. See, that's how this works. It unfolds in real time. This is the beauty and the miracle and the elegance of God's plan. Christ has done the ultimate work once and for all of conquering sin and death. But we're not left out of the story. We're a critical part of the plot of reconciling all things and people and bringing harmony in their lives with God. we are, as Paul says, the ambassadors of that reconciliation. That, for those of you that like to read later, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where Paul talks about that. So we're empowered to create these new experiences. This is what God is longing for us to do. It's what the Spirit is moving in our lives to prompt us to do and to look for these opportunities. We are Christ's hands. We are Christ's feet. We are part of this Colossians process. And dare we believe that what we actually do with it impacts the cosmos? Dare we believe that? Ilia Delio is a Catholic Franciscan sister who has doctorates in pharmacology and theology. Her undergrad was either engineering or biology. She's a scientist, basically. She writes a lot about science and theology. She says this: a Eucharistic community, that's a community grounded in the Lord's Supper, a community like ours, is a new energy field. The Eucharistic community is a new energy field by which relationships generate new patterns of love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness. And what if we had that lens that when we're offering compassion or love or forgiveness, we're creating an energy field in that space? If you think of it that way, if you use that metaphor, what are you generating as a field when you walk around each day? What are you putting out there? Is it negativity? Do you walk around as sort of like a dark cloud of negativity and sarcasm? I hope not. I don't think of you that way. And I have my days where I look back and I go, wow, I haven't been the most positive presence in the world today. What energy field are you putting out there? And how might what you put out there be a part of what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do this week to reconcile and harmonize the world such that we lift it back up to God and say, God, we offer this to you? I was thinking this week, there was an issue that was a hot topic in the New Testament, a hot topic, and it's a hot topic today. That is the issue of race. In the New Testament times, it had to do with Jew versus the non-Jew, who Paul calls Gentiles. And we could do a whole message about the stark differences. Even before that, there was a difference between the Jews and the Samaritans, who were looked at as sort of the backsliding Jews, if you will, the folks who left God's fold and got interested in other religions and combined it with Judaism. And so there were a lot of really harsh, powerful feelings about race in the New Testament times. And today, there is a lot of heated discussion about racism and also a lot about a division around how we talk about racism in our country. What's a good philosophy? What's the right or wrong approach? I don't have the answers to all that. I don't have the answers to all that. And I wonder, as a society works through that debate, maybe there's something I can do. Maybe I can focus on what I can do today. How can I be a constructive part of the systems in which I take part? And so far as it lies with me, advocate for just relationships and hospitality and abundance for every human being. And how can I personally be a bridge builder? How can I be a peacemaker? How can I embody the peace of Christ with another person? Author and speaker Brennan Manning told this story about a moment in his growth. He wrote, during a 2-hour layover in the Atlanta airport, I decided I had better get a shoe shine to look more presentable to the Episcopalians to whom I would be speaking. An elderly man of a different race than me shined my shoes for the going rate of $1.50. This is an old story. I handed him $2 and said, okay, thank you. Now, you get up in the chair, and I'll shine your shoes. He said, huh? What? What's this about? Brennan said, it's okay. I won't charge you. I won't charge you. He stared suspiciously at me and said, what are you doing? What's this about? Brennan said simply, you're my brother. He looked really disconcerted then, Brennan wrote. Then he said, well, when I'm not busy, the boss leaves me some shoes to shine, so I can't do that. But thank you anyway. Then I saw tears in his eyes. I reached out and I hugged him, and he said softly, no white man has ever talked to me that way before. Jesus Christ is about bringing human beings together, renewing creation, bringing all things back to God. And we are the body of Christ in the world. Christ has reconciled the world back to God through his sacrifice on the cross. Christ is reconciling the world back to God through his sacrifice on the cross. Christ will reconcile the world back to God through his sacrifice on the cross and through the church, through us, because we are his presence in the world. How can we co-create this process of reconciling, harmonizing the environments around us into the presence of God? And how can we as a church participate in what God is doing and calling us to do? How will you as an individual this week be an ambassador of reconciliation? Let's pray. Let's ask God for guidance. Almighty God, so much in our world that is not well, so much that is not healthy, so much anger and dissension, and then anger and dissension about how to talk about the anger and the dissension. You show us a better way in the humble example of Jesus Christ, who humbled himself and took the form of a servant, gave himself up on a cross. You have raised him up that his name is above every name, that all things might one day bow and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank you for this huge, beautiful cosmic drama in which you enroll us, dear God. Remind us this week that we have a part to play. There are things we can do. And when we do, we honor who you are and who you've created us to be. We honor that. We create a new energy field around us of love and reconciliation, compassion. May it be so with us this week. In the name of Christ, amen.